The truth of the matter is we're all sinners. The truth of the matter is we need a Savior. The truth of the matter is that where temptation is everywhere. We're tempted to lie, to cheat, to steal. We're tempted to get involved in all kinds of wicked, nasty things. And somehow, some way, the devil has convinced us that we're perfect. He's convinced us that, hey, if you mess up, then you're worthless. He's convinced us that you have to give in to temptation. He's convinced us that there's no sense in going on if you've messed up. May I tell you this morning, Satan is a liar. We began last week to talk about spiritual equilibrium. Spiritual equilibrium. Matthew chapter number 4 is where we're going to be taking our text from, so if you'll follow there with me. Matthew chapter 4, this is the temptation that Jesus went through in the desert. And he went through this temptation to deliver us. To deliver us from sin. To deliver us from having to fall. Now remember, when you know Jesus Christ your Savior, you can't lose your salvation, even though it may feel like it. And when you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't have to sin. But when the temptations come, we feel a draw and a pull to sin. So Jesus, here in the desert, proved that we don't have to sin even though temptation is put in front of us. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 1, it says, "Then when Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." He specifically went to the wilderness. He specifically went there. There was no reason not to go there. He specifically went there. "And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungered. And when the tempter, Satan, came to him, he said, 'If you be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.'" See, God doesn't tempt us to do wrong. If the temptation to sin comes to you, it's not from God, it is from Satan. And you need to recognize that. The tempter, give me that slide there, Brother Terry, if you wouldn't mind. The tempter is our enemy. He wants us to be off balance at all times. He wants us to be to the point where we have no security. He wants us to be the point where we have nothing to rely upon. He is our spiritual enemy. And he is present everywhere all the time. But he's not omniscient. He's not omnipresent. He can't be all places at all times. But it seems to be that he has his minions, his demons are out there doing the same work that he is doing. Satan is real. The demons are real, but they are not mightier than God. They don't have any more power over God. They have not had any more power over Jesus. There's nothing they can do to us that God doesn't allow. They are not all powerful, but they are our enemy. But it's not the sin to be tempted, it's the sin to give in to the temptation. So contrary to that, contrary to the spiritual enemy we have a Savior. We have a Savior who came to deliver us from the ravages of temptation and sin. Hold your finger here in Matthew chapter 4. Let's go to Hebrews 4, chapter 4 real quick. This is just kind of a quick review. If you don't have your Bibles with you, in front of you there is a Bible in the pew there. But I want you to follow along with what God's Word says. Nothing more important this morning than God's Word speaking to us. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 14. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens," and identifies that great high priest, "Jesus the Son of God. Because of that, let us hold fast our profession." Hold fast unto your profession of the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior. Because he is the Son of God, you can hold fast unto your profession of faith. Why? "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity." Jesus knows exactly what you're dealing with. He knows exactly what's going on in your life. He knows your issues. He knows your weaknesses. He knows all these things are going on. And he says, "I've stood the test of temptation for you. Satan knows weaknesses because he's been doing this. He knows the mind of man. He knows what men have a tendency to do, but he doesn't know you inside and out like Jesus does. Satan knows our tendencies, but he doesn't know what you're thinking all the time. He's not powerful like God. He knows your tendencies, but here's the wonderful truth. Jesus knows what you're thinking. He knows exactly what you're dealing with. And he says, I hate you, I'm going to hurt you. I hope that woke you up. That's not what Jesus says. Jesus says, I love you, let me lead you. And it's okay. I love that song with Sherry. It's okay to admit that you're broken. It's okay to admit that you can't do it. It's okay to admit that you need a Savior. Brothers and sisters, I need Jesus. And it's okay to admit that. So he says, we have a high priest. We have a high priest who's already been through what we have been through. But look what else it says here. It says, but he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Underline that, without sin. Jesus never sinned. Let us therefore, because of this, let us come boldly, confidently to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Jesus has been through it, and because he's been through it, and because he defeated Satan, and because he defeated sin, guess what? We did too, through him. And so if you know Jesus Christ, your Savior, you can shout hallelujah because sin has been defeated because of what Jesus Christ has done. Can I get somebody to shout hallelujah? There you go. We have someone who knows you, yet he still loves you. Wow. If I knew everything about you, I wouldn't love you. If you knew everything about me, you would love me, of course. No, I'm just teasing. You wouldn't love me. Not even my singing. But you know what? God knows everything about me. Yet he still loves me. And he loves you. Jesus has been through what we're going through. Now go back to Matthew 4 real quick. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if you're really the Son of God, make these stones be turned into bread. Now, how many of you get hangry sometimes? Some of you are hangry right now. I can see it on your faces through the masks. What's hangry? Hungry and angry. Jesus had been without food for 40 days. Some of you go an hour without food, you get hangry. Here's how Jesus answered that. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then the devil takes him into a holy city and sets him on a pinnacle of the temple, and says unto him, if you be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. See, the first time, Satan didn't use Scripture to try to trip up Jesus. He just simply said, hey, if you're the Son of God, make these into stone. Jesus come back with the Word of God, said, no, it is written, you shall not do that. So Satan gets something set in his mind, says, okay, well, I'm going to use Scripture to get you back, Jesus. I'm going to take Scripture and I'm going to quote it to you. But here's the problem. Satan always misquotes Scripture. Satan always takes Scripture and twists it. What did he tell Eve in the garden? Did God really say? See, he'll do that to us all the time too. Well, the Bible says, and he'll twist it, and he'll try to make it fit his agenda. Now, he's not going to appear as some man in a red suit holding a pitchfork with a big pointed tail. That's not how he's going to appear. He's going to appear sometimes as a teacher. He's going to appear sometimes as a person in the media. He's going to appear sometimes as a professor, sometimes as a songwriter, as an athlete, or some situation. He's going to appear in those forms and make himself look good and make you start to question the Word of God. He'll appear that way. You say, well, Brother Brian, how can I know the difference? Because you've got to know what it really says. Now, does it really say that? Yes, it does say that, but Satan leaves out a very important aspect of what God really said. Look what Jesus answers to him. Jesus said unto him, it is written, again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He says, okay, Satan, you got it partially right, but you didn't get it all right. So how do you know that Satan doesn't get it all right? By knowing what it really says. Look at the next temptation. Again, the devil takes him up into an exceeding high mountain and shows him the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he says unto him, all these things will I give thee if you will fall down and worship me. Now, wait a minute. Where did Satan get the authority to offer that to Jesus? Where did Satan get the authority and the attitude and the power to offer those things to Jesus? May I tell you, he doesn't have it. Satan doesn't have that authority. He doesn't have that power to offer you anything but hell. That's all Satan can offer you is H-E double toothpicks. He can't offer that security. He can't offer you eternity in heaven. Only Jesus can. Jesus said unto him, verse 10, get thee hence, get away from me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. What did Jesus use to battle Satan? Help me out, church. What did Jesus use to battle Satan? His word. His word. Go to the next slide for me, Brother Terry. The weapon of our warfare. Write these verses down right there. Write them down for you. These are the weapons of our warfare against Satan. These are the weapons. God's Word. Now write those references down. I want you to go back and read them. I'm just going to read a couple of the ones real quick for you first. Psalm 119 is the entire psalm is about the Word of God. But there's a couple of them I want to point out to you particularly. Psalm 119. Now write these things down. Some of you are just kind of looking at me like, when is this going to be over? I'm getting hangry already. Write these verses down. It will help you. I promise you. There's going to come a time when temptation's going to come and you're going to need something to fight with. Psalm 119 verse 11 says this. David says, God, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. He says, God, I have memorized your word. I have memorized what you said so that I may not sin against you. How did Jesus know what to say when Satan tempted him? Well, he's God. He pulled out his handy dandy New Testament. He pulled out his Old Testament book. No, he had it memorized. He knew it front and back. You say, Brother Brian, I can't memorize my own phone number. It's funny, I talk to somebody and they're using their cell phone. I say, well, give me your number. Well, I don't know, I got to look it up. How many of you have a difficulty remembering why you entered into a room? What was I in here for? See, the excuse is, I can't memorize God's word because I have a hard time remembering. But it's amazing you can remember a song from the 1950s. My girl. Now, so you're singing. You memorized it. You can remember a song from the 60s. You can remember your first kiss. You can remember your first love. You can remember the name of your favorite food. You can remember the ice cream. You can remember all those things in your life. You can memorize the Word of God. Brothers and sisters, hide God's word in your heart so that when temptation comes, and it's going to come, when temptation comes, you can take it out and say, "Thus saith the Lord," and Satan can't fight against the word of God. Look at Psalm 119, 160. Look what it says. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endures forever. Look at the first four words of that verse. Was it say, thy word is what? True. Satan will always try to say, well, God's word's not really true. There's contradictions, and there's things that were written that weren't intended to be written, and the scribes put something in the outside of the word and they added it in there. Brothers and sisters, either this is all true or it's all false. There is no in between. Brothers and sisters, this is our weapon. And if this is false, we've got nothing to fight with. We have nothing in order to defend what God is doing in our hearts, if this is not true. But I believe it is true. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says what? All Scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God. All Scripture, from Genesis all the way to Revelation, every single bit of it is God's Word. And it is your weapon to use against Satan. So today when you're tempted, tomorrow when you're tempted, next week when you're tempted, you could say, well, my professor told me this, or so-and-so said that on TV, or this famous singer said that. It has no authority. But it says, the Word of God says, there's your authority. Amen? You don't need to listen to an online influencer. You don't need to listen to a television spokesman. You need to listen to the Holy Spirit who authored the Word of God. Amen. And amen. So the weapons of our warfare, write those verses down. I want you to go back and I want you to read them, and I want you to see the strength we get from them. All right, so point number one real quick from last week, the temptation of physical needs and desires. And we saw those. Galatians chapter 5 lists a lot of those temptations that come across. Jesus defeated those. Jesus defeated those physical desires. Number two, the temptation of security needs. Look at the second temptation that Satan threw at him. The devil said unto him, verse number 6, if you be the Son of God, cast yourself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone. You know what our second temptation issues are? Is our hope and protection. You know how I know? We're scared, right? And rightfully so. This COVID is a nasty thing. It's killing people. It is. But to the point now where this is a security blanket, even after we get our shots, people are still wearing these things. Now, how long will those shots last? I don't know. After you have COVID, how long are you? We don't know. Now they're saying wear two masks. Now they're saying the variants are coming in and this and that, and maybe the shots that you're getting now aren't really going to be effective. And people are living their lives based upon the shots and based upon these things, which I understand. I'm not mocking that. We ought to wear these and be safe around each other. That's fine. But if your security is found in a piece of cloth, your security is in the wrong place. Jesus Christ is our security. Satan told Jesus, if you're really God, if you're really who you say you are, jump off. God will catch you. Now, brothers and sisters, How many of you recognize it isn't smart to get to the top of a building and just go jumping off? Some of you aren't raising your hands. I love watching base jumpers. You want to get scared? Just watch one of them. They get that parachute on their back and they get way back and they go running and they just leap off. And they're floating along and all of a sudden that parachute shoots out. I want to skydive before I die. My wife says, no. Now, if I get a $2 million life insurance policy, you might say, go ahead. I'm worth more dead than I am alive. But here's the fact, brothers and sisters. We're not going to die until God's timing is exactly when we're going to die. Don't let Satan trick you and fool you. Don't let Satan make you walk around scared to death to live life that God has given to you. Don't let Satan tell you, well, you can't testify and you can't witness and you can't serve God because of the COVID. Listen, you can serve God wearing a mask. You could serve God doing those other things. The teachers are doing it. My goodness, the teachers. Hallelujah to y'all. Wearing them masks all day long like you do. I can't wear for 15 minutes without. Teachers are doing it. Praise God for our teachers and our administrators. Praise the Lord. But guess what? Satan's not more powerful than Jesus is. And all God's people said, amen. Look at the third temptation. The temptation for psychological needs. Look what Jesus told him. Again, the devil takes him into an excellent, exceeding high mountain. And he shows him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he, Satan, says to Jesus, all these things will I give thee if you will fall down and worship me. The temptation for significance. The temptation for power. The temptation for achievement. See, a lot of us are tempted for these things of authority and achievement and power. To have our name in lights. To have our name known by everybody else. Our 15 minutes of fame. To be honest with you, when all this stuff began, and I began to go online and do my Wednesday prayer and Bible study, the first time I did it, I was scared to death because I didn't know how many people would be watching. The second week that I did it, I paid attention, said, okay, I got this down, I paid attention. And I purposely wanted to see how many people watched. I got 75 people to watch. And I was like, woohoo, yes, 75 people are interested in listening to me. The next week, it dropped down to 30. You know what happens to your ego when that takes place? See, here's the problem. Satan wants us to be egocentric. He wants us to make it all about us. How many of you are familiar with what a selfie is? Smile. And the duck face. See, why do we do those things? Because we want attention. We want people to pay attention to us. We want people to acknowledge us. We want people to say how good we are, how great we are, or all these different things. We want to lift ourselves up because there's something in us that needs to be fed. We need to matter to other people. May I tell you this? While that's important, it's more important to matter to Jesus Christ. He died for you. You matter to Him. You are significant to God. He loves you. He's never stopped loving you. But Satan will tempt you and say, you need to do this to be significant. You need to do this to be powerful. And I can help you do it. Brothers and sisters, Satan's got no power to do any of those things that means anything. And may I warn you, just in case you haven't heard it before, young people, look at me for a minute. Pay attention to what I say. And I say it because I love you. Anything you put on the internet will be there forever. Well, I deleted it. It's somewhere. Don't sell yourself out to society. Don't give yourself an opportunity to be put out there so that people can manipulate you later on. It's not worth it. Go to Colossians chapter 3 real quick. Let me show you something here. I know I'm meddling, but that's okay. And all the teenagers said, Colossians chapter 3, verse number 2 says this. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. That applies to parents and grandparents too. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. See, you matter to God because you belong to Christ. You need to be dead to your fleshly desire to be noticed. You need to be dead for your fleshly desire to matter to the world. The world doesn't care about you. They'll use you, they'll abuse you, and then they'll lose you. God says, you matter to me. From Jackson all the way up to Brother Danny, the oldest man in the room. Danny Childers. I'm just teasing. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your gender, which is only two, by the way, male and female. It doesn't matter your race. You matter to God. You're significant to Him. There's never a time that you're not significant to God. Never. Look what else it says. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. You want to have glory? You want to have exaltation? You want to be noticed? It's coming. When the rapture takes place, it's coming. You're going to come with Him. You're not going to be the focus of the attention. Jesus Christ will, but guess what? You're going to be right there with Him. You want glory and attention? What better way than coming with Jesus Christ? It's coming. And it won't cost you a single thing. You don't have to give up your morals to do it. You don't have to pay to do it. You don't have to compromise your convictions to do it. All you have to do is trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Satan has no power over you. He's got no power over me. Jesus has won the battle, and He is the victor. Overcoming the temptation. Now look at me, we're done. Don't close your Bibles yet. Don't zip up, zip, you hear the zippers. Don't do that yet. Just look at me just for a moment, please. Why do we then gather on Sunday mornings? Brothers and sisters, we need the truth. And I give it to you because I love you. If I die today, I know that I've given you God's Word. And I want you to always to remember what God's Word says. You can leave out of here forgetting what I say. That's okay. But please, don't forget this. Now, I cannot assume that everybody in this room knows Jesus Christ as their Savior. I can't assume that. I'd be foolish. So look at me for a moment. Let me ask you the most important question I can ask you. Is Jesus Christ your Savior? Have you placed your faith in the death of Jesus for your sins? Have you placed your faith in the fact that He was buried? And have you placed your faith in the fact that He rose again and lives forevermore? Because that's what matters. Have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ? Have you voiced it to Him verbally or mentally. The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you done that? Because that's all that matters. If you haven't, today's the day. Today's the day. What we're going to do is, Miss Shirley, if you'll come and get ready to play for us, I'm going to let you stay seated. But if you've got something on your heart, I'll meet you up here with my mask. Okay, you wear your mask. I've got some men, some ladies that will be glad to come pray with you if you need that. But don't walk out of here without Jesus Christ as your Savior. Don't do it. Satan's lying to you right now saying, it's okay, you don't need to do that. There's plenty of time. Brothers and sisters, it's appointed unto man once to die. After this, the judgment. Won't you place your faith in Christ today? Won't you place your faith in Jesus Christ? I'm going to pray. And then I'm going to ask you, if you want to trust Christ, come down. I'll meet you. And we'll find what the Bible says about how to be saved today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you. You're our only hope. There is none but you. And I thank you, God, that Jesus has already overcome all the temptations and he defeated Satan several times. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. And he's alive forevermore. And I pray, God, that we would trust what he has done, not only to resist temptation, but to have eternal life. Father, I believe there's some souls in this room that have never trusted Christ as their Savior. I'm asking you, God, right now that they would come and let us show them how to be saved today. Not out of some emotional manipulation, but just the realization that Christ died for them and they need to be saved. Whatever the need is, God, I pray people would come if they need to. But God, you're the only hope we have. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed. My show's going to play for a couple of verses here. If you have a need, I'll meet you down here. I'll meet you down here. We'll pray together. Do you know Jesus is your Savior? Today's the day.